So friends, our Bible reading tonight is from the book of Proverbs again. This is our final sermon in this series, at least for now. And tonight we're looking at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. And I'd encourage you to read along with that. And the words will also be on the screen, although that's the wrong reading. But Proverbs 3, 1 to 12. That's the right one, sorry. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, as a father the son He delights in. Amen. My friends, this passage that we've just read from the book of Proverbs is one of the best known parts of this book, and it will be especially well known if you or your children or grandchildren listen to songs by Colin Buchanan, because one of his is based around this passage. Now Proverbs, the issue that is addressed in this part of the book of Proverbs is the matter of trust, wise trust. Proverbs 3, 1 to 12, and especially verses 5 and 6, are all about what we rely and depend upon in life, about where we place our trust in our lives. But what do I really mean by that? Well, I'd invite you to think about it this way tonight. First of all, I ask you, where, at the end of the day, do you find your security in life? What is it that makes you feel confident that you're going to be safe and protected, that everything is going to be all right? Secondly, where, at the end of the day, do you find your purpose in life? What gets you out of bed in the morning? What motivates you and gives you significance and meaning in your existence? Where, at the end of the day, do you find your strength in life? What do you turn to when you are tired and weak? Where do you find power to go on when you're running on empty? Where, at the end of the day, do you find your guidance in life? What's your source of advice when you're facing important choices? What's your standard for making right decisions? And finally, where, at the end of the day, do you find your happiness in life? What is it that provides you with real pleasure and contentment? What actually gives you true and lasting joy? When we consider this matter, we're thinking about where it is that we turn to for our security, our purpose, our strength, our guidance, and our happiness. And what this reveals, what this passage reveals, is that there is in fact a wrong place and a right place to turn. There is a wrong and a right object for our trust. And so we're going to begin with the wrong one. In Proverbs 3 verse 5, it actually starts by telling us the right place to put our trust. And here's a spoiler alert for later in the sermon. The right place, it says, is the Lord. But before we get to that, we want to consider the very next phrase, which says, and lean not on your own understanding. And we can add to that verse 7, where it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. These two verses tell us that the wrong place to put your trust is in yourself and in the things that you yourself decide are trustworthy. So what do we do with that? I mean, all of us trust in ourselves for all sorts of things, don't we? We trust in our own understanding and in our own wisdom all of the time. And we trust in the people and objects and experiences that we have decided are reliable and dependable. And so, for example, I put trust in my doctor, for his advice and actions have always proved to be beneficial. I trust that when I go home tonight to my house, that my house is going to keep me safe and comfortable, as it always has. I trust that if I get a good night's sleep tonight, that it will revitalize me and refresh me, because that's what usually happens. I trust my car to protect me in an accident. I trust my income to provide me with food and clothing. I trust a good movie to give me joy and pleasure. I trust my wife in every possible way. So are these verses saying that I should stop trusting in these people and these things? No, of course not. God has blessed us with brains and the ability to think and reason and make decisions. And He expects us to use what He has given to determine who and what we can trust and who and what we can't. But what then are these verses saying to us tonight? Well, they're saying that our own understanding and our own wisdom should never be the only or final authority in our lives. For our thinking has been affected by sin, and we don't always get it right. And neither do the people and the objects that we rely upon, because everything has its limits. Doctors make mistakes. Our good health can fail. Money can be lost. Possessions can lose their appeal. Fulfilling careers come to an end, and businesses can go bust. Family and friends, even those closest to us, can let us down. And so there's no suggestion that we cannot put any trust in ourselves or the people and things we've deemed reliable. There's no suggestion that they cannot provide any security or purpose or strength or guidance or happiness. But the point is that we shouldn't put our exclusive trust in any of these. The point is that we should not depend on them for our ultimate blessing and well-being. Or, to put it another way, we should never put ourselves or any other person or any service or any kind of possession or resource in the place of God. We should never allow anything in our lives to become our idol. But I ask you tonight, what are the idols in your life? What could we actually be relying upon for our well-being? What could we be depending on in the place of the Lord? For example, do you find security in your home, in your house, and the possessions you've gathered around you? Do you find it impossible to think of ever going elsewhere or getting rid of those precious things? Do you have that far too common mentality that says, they'll have to carry me out of here in a box? Maybe your home has become your idol. Or do you find your purpose in an activity that dominates your thinking? I just have to keep the garden perfect. Or I just have to get away on another holiday. Or I just have to keep developing my collection or my craft work or my hobby. Or I just have to keep posting on social media or reaching the next level on that game. And if I can't do that anymore, well, life just wouldn't be worth living. I ask you tonight, has some pursuit in your life become your idol? Or maybe you find your ultimate strength in the health and medical professions. You're obsessed with exercise and sport, vitamins and supplements, diets and nutrition. Or you have an illness or a disease and you put your full dependence on doctors and specialists and procedures and treatments and medications and remedies. When you think about being well, this is where you turn. Has physical fitness and healing become your idol? Or perhaps you find your ultimate guidance in some kind of self-help guru, or motivational speaker, or business coach, in the teachings of some semi-spiritual expert, or some cult or religion, in those websites that claim to reveal deeper truth and that sound so convincing. Or could it even be a Christian author or teacher who you, in your eyes, can say no wrong? Is it possible that some worldly source of advice, truth, or morality has become your idol? Or do you seek your happiness in worldly pleasures? Are you searching for it in alcohol or other substances? Or in always having the latest? Or in a romantic relationship? Or in sex? Or in some kind of escapism? Or in some kind of activism? Or in a growing superannuation fund? Or in your family? Or in your leisure time? Or in always doing something more to impress other people? Has something that gives you joy become your idol? You know, my friends, it's perfectly normal for us to seek our security and our purpose and our strength and guidance and happiness. It's perfectly normal to seek these things. Our hearts quite naturally long for them. But the problem arises when we're looking for them in all the wrong places. When you place your ultimate trust in yourself and your own thinking and in the worldly things that captivate you, when you allow people and possessions and pursuits to take the place of God, to take first place in your life, then you are heading down a dangerous path. It's the wrong path. It's a foolish path. It's a destructive path. The message of Proverbs is this: lean not on your own understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. But now we need to consider the alternative, the far better, wiser, and more wonderful alternative. And we find that clearly stated at the beginning of verse 5, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." My friends, don't ultimately trust in yourself, nor in wealth or possessions, in doctors or counselors, in career or education, in friends or family, or in anything else in this entire world, but put your trust in the Lord our God and in Him alone. And you know why you should. It's because, unlike any of these other things, the Lord is totally reliable. He will never fail you. He will never let you down. And the Lord is absolutely powerful. Everything is under His control. There's nothing He cannot do. And the Lord is unreservedly loving. He cares for His children deeply and promises always to work for their good. So what does it then mean to trust Him? Well, let's take a look at what our passage tells us. In verse 1 it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart." Trusting the Lord means knowing and believing and obeying His word. It means having a high view of Scripture and allowing it to shape your life. In verse 3 it says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Here two vital elements of the Bible's teaching are highlighted. Although it's not clear whether it's speaking of God's love and faithfulness to us or of our love and faithfulness to Him and to others. But either way, it's true. Trusting the Lord means keeping love and faithfulness central at the forefront of our thinking all the time. In verse 6, parallel to the words, trust in the Lord with all your heart, it says, in all your ways submit to him. Trusting the Lord means not just paying him lip service, but genuinely surrendering every area of your life to him. In verse 7 we read, fear the Lord and shun evil. Trusting the Lord involves having a deep reverence and awe for him, and as a result, fleeing from all that he abhors. And verse 9 adds, honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Trusting him includes depending on him even more than money, the God of this world, and being willing to use your wealth for him before anything else. And finally, in verse 11, it says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Trusting in him means staying true to him in times of difficulty, knowing that the Lord sometimes sends suffering and troubles into our lives, not because he hates us, but because he loves us and has his good reasons to do so. My friends, to trust in the Lord is to look to him for everything we need. It means looking to the Lord for our security, knowing always that we're always safe in his hands. It means looking to him for our purpose, realizing that it's only in following his call that we can find fulfillment in life. It means looking to him for strength, even when we're at the end of our tether with nothing left in the tank, because he always hears us and always answers our prayers. It means looking to him for guidance, knowing that it is his word that provides the perfect direction that we need. And it means looking to him for happiness, for it is in the Lord that we can find a deep-seated joy like no other that stays with us through both good times and hard times. But notice how Proverbs 3 verse 5 doesn't just urge us to trust in the Lord, but to trust in him with all your heart. And verse 6 also urges us not just to submit to him, but to submit in all your ways to submit to him. And to be honest, I think this is where many Christians fall down. I don't think that any of us would even be here tonight if we didn't trust him at all. But can we honestly say that we trust him with all our hearts and submit to him in all our ways? You see, many Christians believe that there are parts of their life where God has no business. Perhaps they think that God has no business in how they act when they're at work, whether as an employer or an employee. To the casual observer, they don't even appear to be a Christian when they're at work, for they act no different to the rest. Or they think that God has no interest in what they do when they go out on a Friday night, or when they're deciding what to watch on TV, or which books they will read, or what they might search on the internet. Or they think that God has no interest in how they treat their wife, or how they spend their money, or how they use their spare time. Are there parts of your life where you think God has no business? Well, my friend, maybe that's the very reason why you feel the way you do. So insecure, so guilty, so miserable, so weary, so unfulfilled. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. And do you know what comes as a result? It says, and he will make your paths straight. Instead of travelling down that wrong path, that foolish and destructive path, you will instead find yourself on the right track, the wise track, the path that leads to the Lord's abundant blessings. And what does that look like? Well, listen again to what this passage tells us. Verse 2 says, Keep his commands. Why? For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Or verse 4, hold on to love and faithfulness, and then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Or verse 8, fear the Lord, and this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Or verse 10, honor the Lord with your wealth, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. The message is clear, isn't it? Throw away your idols. Stop relying on yourself. Get rid of divided loyalties and place your trust firmly and wholeheartedly in God, and you will experience his richest rewards. And I ask you tonight, who would not want that? Who would not want to experience the marvelous favor of our Lord? But we have to say a little bit more about that, don't we? Because we all know that faithful Christians do not always experience a prosperous and abundant life. We all know that some Christians have trouble upon trouble, that some Christians die young, that some Christians have to deal with unspeakable tragedy. We all know that some Christians live in third world countries and suffer poverty, conflict, and persecution. And I mean, we all know about the book of Job, don't we? So what then are we to make of Proverbs chapter 3? Well, first, we need to remember that Proverbs are not ironclad guarantees, but they are descriptions of how things normally work in God's world. And so we need to remember that many, many Christians do indeed experience long and healthy and prosperous lives, and the fact that some don't doesn't negate that fact. I mean, even this passage recognizes in verses 11 and 12 that sometimes we experience the Lord's discipline and rebuke. So while we can most certainly say that those who trust in the Lord will experience peace and prosperity, there will always be exceptions to that rule. However, the second thing we need to remember is that blessing is relative. You know, I've sat with many genuine Christians who, when you look at the situation that they are in, you would have to conclude that they really have very little to be thankful for. But yet, in the midst of their distress, they can clearly see the Lord's goodness. And at the same time, I've known other so-called Christians who have everything going for them, but yet they seem to be ungrateful, miserable, and complaining. Blessing is relative, isn't it? If you look for God's blessing, you will find it. A third factor we need to remember is that there are very different kinds of blessings, and at the end of the day, some are far more important than others. You see, from a worldly point of view, a trouble-free life with health and wealth and self-indulgence is the ultimate goal. And that's what worldly Christians are looking for. But far more important than that is to know God's love in your life, to know God's help, to know his protection. And the only way that we can ever experience these things is when we go through hard times. And so God never promises us a trouble-free life. But what he does promise is that when troubles come our way, he will not desert us. He will be right there by our side, caring and comforting and carrying us through. That is a far greater blessing by far. But now there's one last thing that we need to remember, and we're going to close with this, and that is that a passage like this points us to something far greater, for it points us to our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when Proverbs urges us to trust in the Lord with all your heart, we cannot help but realize that that is much more than just a trust for worldly needs and desires and a better life here on this earth. But it is a trust in the Lord for our deepest need and our most urgent desire, and for an eternal life in heaven with him. And when we think about that, we see even more clearly that we cannot possibly rely on ourselves or on any other person or possession. For how could we ever pay for our own sin? And how could anything in this world ever make us right with God? And so the only solution is to trust in the one who came down from heaven and was born into our world, who lived the perfect life we never could, who went to the cross to purchase our salvation. And at that cross, he proved his absolute trustworthiness once and for all. For at the cross, all God's promises were fulfilled, and Jesus gave everything for us. And because he did that, we have been blessed with the ultimate of straight paths. For he has now promised to guide us through life, to watch over us and fulfill us, to empower us and to lead us, and to fill us with the deepest joy we can ever imagine. But he has also promised that he will guide us right to the end, along that narrow road that leads to life everlasting. And so, as we are reminded in Romans chapter 8, we can remember that if God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? So my friends, as we wrap up this series of sermons from the book of Proverbs, I truly hope that you found it beneficial. We've seen wise beginnings as we considered that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We've looked at wise friendship and wise intimacy, at wise work and wise wealth, at wise words and wise planning. And tonight we conclude with wise trust. My friends, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Let us do away with our idols and our divided loyalties and our self-reliance. Let us depend only ever on our precious Saviour, for in him we find all that we need. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word and every part of it. Father, we thank you that we have been able to spend a time in the wisdom literature, and in particular in the book of Proverbs. And Father, we pray that you will help us to understand these Proverbs in the right way. Lord, we pray that as we have thought about wise trust tonight, that you would help us to respond in the right way. Lord, help us not to lean on our own understanding. Help us not to depend on ourselves and worldly things. Lord, help us to identify the idols in our lives, those things that we put in place of you, those things that we rely on to give our life meaning, to find our strength, to find our joy. Father in heaven, help us to deal with those things and to get them in the right perspective. And instead, Father God, help us to put our reliance entirely on you. Help us to know what that really means for us. Father, help us to trust in you with all our hearts. Help us to submit to you in all our ways. Help us to truly do that tonight. Father, help us to trust you with everything in our lives. Father, help us to trust you with our death and with the eternal life that will follow. Father, help us to know that only Jesus can carry us through. We pray these things in his name alone. Amen.